I called the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
Hold on, ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Air Force. No
Yo! And welcome back to The Fix, the realest and blackest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. I am your host, Joseph Ward, a.k.a. Slim Jennings, and we are back here doing our thing on The Fix. Man, I got a good show. I got a good lineup. It's going down today on The Fix. I got guests on the show. Great topics. I mean, it's a lot that has happened within this last week of sports. Some breaking news, but I'm gonna get into all of that. I'm gonna get into it. But I know I was excited last week. I forgot to do my housekeeping, so I gotta do my housekeeping. So, of course, you know The Fix is a product of the Freedom Train Network. So make sure you visit www.freedomtrainradio.com to check out the Freedom Train Network, the Freedom Train podcast series, and of course The Fix, and learn more about all the things that the Freedom Train Network has going on, the new shows that are coming up on the network, the new, just everything new that's going on with the Freedom Train Network. So make sure you visit www.freedomtrainradio.com and make sure you click on that tab that says The Fix, so you can always stay tuned to what's going down over here. Of course, The Fix is sponsored by On the Shoulders of Giants. And On the Shoulders of Giants brings African history to you at your fingertips via the book series, the blog series, the app, and as well as the educational series where they come to your classrooms. They do seminars, lectures, all those things on the Shoulders of Giants. For more information, make sure you visit www.ontheshoulders1.com. You can also visit www.ontheshoulders.org to learn more about the On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit organization. You can follow me, Joseph Ward, and The Fix on Twitter at JoeWard84. That way, you know, tweet me, let me know what's going on, how you like the show, how it's going down, everything like that. You can follow the Freedom Train Network on Twitter at Freedom Train Net. You can follow the Freedom Train Network on Instagram at Freedom Train Network. You can like the Freedom Train Network's Facebook page, and you can subscribe to the Freedom Train podcast series on iTunes and Google Play. And you can also subscribe to The Fix on iTunes and Google Play. Backhead Bounce. Alright, we're on iTunes and Google Play, so it's going down. I tell y'all, man, we're moving on up like the Jetsons. Hey, the only thing that's not happening is me wearing that cul-de-sac hairstyle like George Jefferson. So that's the only thing that ain't happening, but we're moving on up. So let's go ahead and get to the show. So first thing first, we got going down. You know, we start with our HBCU spotlight. And this week on our HBCU spotlight, we are highlighting the SWAC Volleyball Players of the Week. And if you don't know what the SWAC is, that's the Southwestern Athletic Conference. And it's HBCU Sports and the Southwestern Athletic Conference Volleyball Players of the Week. And first up is Offensive Player of the Week, Michaela Rowe. She averaged 2 kills per set for a total of 18 and maintained a 333 attack percentage in 3 matches for Jackson State at the Bulldog Invitational. Against Louisiana Tech, Rowe tallied a season-high 10 kills, finishing out the week a play with a 300 hitting percentage and 28 kills, 10 errors, and 60 swings. So, dang, Michaela, you got it in. You greased that elbow up and got it in. Dang, 28 kills. Man, she got it in. One time for Michaela, hat goes off to Michaela. So, our defensive player of the week is Myla Marshall. And she was a key factor protecting the net for Alabama State with 12 kills and the team best 5 blocks in 3 matches during the Kennesaw State Invitation this past weekend. Marshall had 7 kills on 9 attacks with a 778 hitting percentage with 2 solo blocks and 2 block assists in Alabama State University's straight sets victory against Savannah State University. So, one time for Myla Marshall. So, our setter of the week is Anna Kiso. She's from Prairie View A&M, and she was the only player from Prairie View A&M to be on the preseason all-sweat team. So, she averaged 15 assists per match and 5 assists per set for the Panthers at the Sam Houston State Bearcat Volleyball Invitational. Kiso's best match came in the event finale when she handed out 20 assists against Montana State. The senior also knocked down 6 kills and recorded 17 digs during the weekend. Against Houston Baptist on September 1st, Kiso handed out a season-high 22 assists, giving her 82 assists for the season. God dang, Kiso. Kiso getting it in. 82 assists on the season. She out there like, damn, Steve Nash or John Stockton or something like that. Jason Kidd, you know what I'm saying? One time for Kiso. And our newcomer of the week, Alabama State freshman, Corey Cooch. I messed her name. I just straight butchered her last name, but it's all right. Corey Cooch, I think I said it right, had a team best 42 assists, 12 digs, and 2 aces in 3 matches during the Kennesaw State Invitational this past weekend. Cooch had a season-high 22 assists and 6 digs in Alabama State University straight sets victory over Savannah State University. So Alabama State had 2 people digging in on Savannah State. So our HBCU spotlight, we always want to give love. So our studio audience coming in and they getting in. So we're going to give a round of applause for our women. Right? Our SWAC Volleyball Players of the Week. Once again, their names are Corey Cooch, I know I messed her name up, Annie Kiso, Myla Marshall, and Michaela Rose. One time for the ladies. This is our HBCU spotlight. Moving on. Headline, going down. Headline. Stop the presses, it's going down. So yesterday, in the middle of college football, we learned that Carmelo Anthony has waived his no-trade clause in his contract with the Knicks and has reportedly is been set to complete a blockbuster trade. The Knicks are going to complete a blockbuster trade that will send Carmelo Anthony to the Oklahoma City Thunder for Enes Kanter, Doug McDermott, and a future round draft pick. Right. So Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, he first reported that the Sides had completed the deal pending a Monday trade call. So it's basically going down. Anthony had been the focus of trade talk with the Knicks for a while. And we know Anthony has been unhappy in New York. Phil Jackson came in there and messed everything up. James Dolan, the owner, he's stupid. And the team just wasn't good. And they picked a lot of players and made a lot of moves and just had a lot of things going on. So Carmelo Anthony goes to the West. He's going back to the West. He ain't going back to Cali, so I can't say that. But he's going back to the West. So he's going to play with Paul George and Russell Westbrook. That right there is going to be interesting, very interesting. So let's play with the starting lineup, right? We're talking about Russell Westbrook, Carmelo Anthony, Paul George, Stephen Adams, You can have either Andre Robertson or Patrick Patterson as the other players on the court. That could be a potential starting five right there. And are they enough to challenge Golden State? Most will say no. They probably don't have everything they need to challenge Golden State. They still probably need some other pieces, but that is interesting. Now, will Oklahoma City actually be a competitive force? We don't know. We know it's going to take time for that team to gel. Now, the biggest thing I'm thinking about with this team, for one, that makes the East even more weaker. So we know that the Cavs are coming out of the East. And so the question is, will Kyrie Irving be able to have the Celtics at a competitive enough level to actually be able to challenge the Cavaliers coming out of the East? The second question is, for me, is how will Carmelo Anthony and Russell Westbrook coexist? What position will Melo play? How will Paul George play in the mix? And how will Billy Donovan be able to handle all of those personalities? Who will be able to have that personality or the mindset of, okay, I understand this situation, I'm going to put my ego to the side. Because this is Russell Westbrook's team. Like, no matter, I like Carmelo, but this is Russell Westbrook's team. So Carmelo has to understand that. Paul George has to understand that coming in, that this is Russell's team. But Russell also has to understand that now I don't have to do as much as I did in the past, because those are the things that did force KD out, or even cause the Golden State Oklahoma City to not necessarily advance in the past, is Russell Westbrook trying to do too much, even when he had help with KD. So now Russell Westbrook has help again in Paul George and a Carmelo Anthony, even though Paul George and Carmelo Anthony, well, Paul George is not in his later years, but Carmelo is in his later years. Me and Carmelo are the same age. We're both 33. So Carmelo more in his later years, but Carmelo still is a deadly threat on the offensive end. Paul George is deadly on the offensive end. We all know Russell Westbrook is deadly on the offensive end. So you have three people on the Oklahoma City Thunder who average at least 20 points a game. Right, so you got three people who can get you 20. So the question is, who gonna be comfortable not scoring 20? First person come to mind to me would be Paul George. I think Paul George's personality is the more passive of three, so he may fall to the back end as far as the scores. But I think he and Carmelo, their roles as far as that second score will fluctuate throughout the season and throughout the playoffs and things. Carmelo may not be that second person every night. Paul George may not be that second person every night. But we know that Russell Westbrook is the man on this team. You have to play defense. So who's going to be that dog on defense? We know Russell's going to be that dog. We know Russell play defense. Paul George is pretty all right on defense. Adams play defense. So they got people who can play defense. But it's a strong commitment to the defensive end that Oklahoma City Thunder have to make. But also another question is, are the Oklahoma City Thunder still good enough to challenge the Golden State Warriors, to challenge the San Antonio Spurs, to challenge the Houston Rockets with Chris Paul? And see, this is what makes this Carmelo trade interesting, is we all thought that Carmelo was going to the Houston Rockets because Carmelo was balling with James Harden and Chris Paul in the pickup game. So we just assumed that Hoodie Carmelo going to go ahead and jump on the court with Chris Paul and James Harden and go ahead and going down to Houston and challenge Golden State. But that didn't happen. So Carmelo is going to Oklahoma to play with Russell Westbrook. Hey, man, look, this is interesting. This is exciting. I mean, I'm not really into basketball like that. Not like I am with football. I do like basketball. I do like watching it. I ain't in it. I'm not into it like I'm into football. But that's very interesting. I'm interested to see how this Oklahoma City team play. I'm interested to see how this Boston Celtics team look. Can Kyrie Irving lead his team? Can he lead a team? Period. To glory. To promise. Can he lead the Boston Celtics deep to the playoffs the same way that Isaiah Thomas did last year because that Boston Celtics team was very competitive in the playoffs. They shouldn't have won that game in the Eastern Conference Finals against Cleveland, but nevertheless, they won the game. So here we are now, a new look Boston Celtics with Isaiah Thomas on the actual Cleveland Cavaliers. And the big question is with Isaiah Thomas's hip. But nevertheless, Carmelo Anthony, the big story, Carmelo Anthony being traded to the Oklahoma City Thunder to play with Paul George and Russell Westbrook. Good lordy, Greg Lee, hey man. We don't know what's going to happen this year. Of course, most people still predicting Golden State Warriors and Cleveland Cavaliers part four, but we will see. I'm hoping we see something different. We need, it's a paradigm. We don't need the same things over and over and over. All right, enough about Melo, because that was breaking news. Carmelo Anthony deciding to, Carmelo Anthony deciding for one to waive his no trade clause, and two, the actual trade happening of him going to the Oklahoma City Thunder, who all Russell Westbrook needed was help. He got help from Paul George, and he got more help from Melo. So all they got to do is be able to make that work. Billy Donovan, the spotlight is on you as the coach to make this thing work. What you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do? Hey, all right. So let's move on. So, of course, you know, we, like I said, we keep it real over here. So one of the cats who I grew up watching, as far as football, Miami Hurricane, Santana Moss, him and RG3, Robert Griffin III, they got into it this past week. So, you know, I'm riding down the street listening to the radio, and I hear them talk about Santana Moss calling out RG3 on some things that RG3 was saying about Mike Shanahan when he left, when he got fired from the Washington Redskins. And the first thing that popped in my mind is, first thing first is, Santana, you my homie, but you ain't on code. And what I mean by not being on code is, black people, we got to learn how to keep our business to ourselves, keep house business in the house. Now, I understand it's NFL business, but this is your issue with another black man. And no matter how you feel about Robert Griffin, whether you feel like he a down brother or not, you still got to be on code. Now, Robert Griffin hasn't had any real egregious coonish acts to throw him up under the bus and just say, all right, we just go ahead and straight bust on him. But I do think Robert Griffin is a sucker, nevertheless. So Monday, Santana Moss had some words about what happened when the situation with Robert Griffin and the firing of Mike Shanahan and the bringing in of Jay Gruden. So according to Santana, Robert Griffin was excited and he was very vocal about his pleasure with Mike Shanahan and his regime being fired. And because I guess, you know, they never got along. And then come in with the Gruden regime and it just didn't work. Like, he was giving Robert Griffin the business. Then, you know, Robert Griffin ended up getting hurt and all these things. So Santana Moss is basically saying, you get what you give. I mean, you know, there's the karma coming around for you. From his actions and his words against the Shanahan regime. So he said, you know, his inability to get along with others, especially those in positions of authority, is why he's currently out of the league. Santana Moss is saying, this guy I think can still play this game. He may not be a starter, but he should still be able to play. But when you have those situations that occur with coaches, then, you know, you're not going to have good luck. Basically, Santana Moss saying that Robert Griffin III is a mark. He can't be trusted. He one of them dudes that when he get into your locker room, too many people not going to take to him. And Robert Griffin does have a history of not being very well liked in locker rooms and stuff like that. So nobody's saying Santana Moss wrong. Well, his words are wrong. Nobody's saying he's lying. But I'm saying Santana Moss, You should have just took that to Robert Griffin one-on-one. You should have called up Robert Griffin, and you should have handled that with Robert Griffin on the phone, and y'all should have met man to man. I'm just saying, you ain't got to keep putting, we don't have to keep throwing each other under the bus in public like this. Now, Robert Griffin replied, no sub-tweeting needed. Santana Moss, I treated you like a brother and have always had your back. To openly lie about me is a betrayal. Been lied on a lot over the years. Put in an impossible situation with a coach who never wanted me. Made players like Santana Moss a believer through hard work, film study, showing up early, leaving late, putting in extra hours, staying at the practice, and getting extra work in. We won the division that year. Next year, coach was out. Says he never wanted me as his QB, and I get blamed. Come on, man. I have been a good soldier. Some so desperately want me to fit this negative narrative that has been pushed about me. But I don't fit it. Never have. Never will. Proved it in Cleveland. Voted captain. Came back to play for my teammates just to help us win one game with a broken shoulder. Stop the lies. And says, also says, only Moss and Griffin know the truth. Though this tweet from, never mind. They saying only Moss and Griffin know the truth. So, John King, an ESPN reporter, said, one thing to know about Santana Moss, as a professional, a player as I've dealt with, never felt the need to go off record. Philip says it. So they, it's a lot of people that saying, all right, Santana Moss, they saying Santana Moss ain't lying. Robert Griffin has been known to, like I said, just said earlier, Robert Griffin has been known to ruffle feathers in locker rooms. Now, you saying you becoming a captain in Cleveland locker room, not saying a lot. You're a quarterback, so most quarterbacks are expected to be captains, especially when you open day quarterback. But nevertheless, you know, this is the latest drama in the beef between Santana Moss and Robert Griffin. Me personally, like I say, Santana, man, you should have left this alone as far as through the public realms. You should have got at RG3 privately, but you to call him out like that, that's kind of tacky, man. That's kind of, that's markish, you know, on your end. Cold, stay on cold. Hey, what happens? It's the Vegas rule. It's the Vegas rule, baby. What happens in the black community stays in the black community. What happens between you and another black man stays between you and another black man, unless that black man has proven himself to be an enemy to the community. Now, I personally don't care for Robert Griffin, but I don't think he's proven himself to be an enemy of the community. I think the boy is lost. I think the boy is confused. I think he needs to have his switch come on to understand that he needs to come back. But then again, in saying that, hell, has he ever been over on this side? We don't really know. We don't really know with RG3. I know, what's your man, Rob Parker, who was formerly on ESPN, now he's with Fox Sports, a while ago told us, when RG3 was a rookie, told us RG3 was a cornball, and he got fired for that, for calling RG3 a cornball. But Rob Parker was a prophet. Rob Parker saw the corniness in RG3 from the beginning. So, you know, here on The Fix, man, you know, we the realest. We the trill. Well, I can't say we the trillest because I ain't got the blessing from the bun. But, you know, we got trillness in our DNA, but I ain't going to say it like that because we ain't got the blessing from the bun. But nevertheless, RG3, man, you a mark. You is a mark. You soft, and you a mark. And you confused in the mud. But Santana, you can't be doing this, man. You can't be doing this. We got to keep house business inside the house. That's all I'm going to say about that. That's all I just want to drop that on y'all about Santana Moss and RG3. Now, what I really want to get into is, you know, a show or two ago, I talked about how Kid from Kid and Play, he went on the Jason Whitlock show. I don't even know the name of Jason Whitlock show. I don't even really care to know the name of Jason Whitlock show, but it's on Fox Sports. And Jason Whitlock is the fat coon, sellout, Sambo dude that have a show on Fox Sports that goes out of his way to talk bad about black America. He is a part of white supremacist propaganda machine. and he don't even know he just being used. He don't even know he just a fat pawn in the game. But Kid went on his show and decided to go on the show dressed as Colin Kaepernick. He had the afro, the beard. He put a glove on the Colin Kaepernick jersey, threw it the sign. Now, whatever happened never aired, but the picture was tweeted out by Jason Whitlock. And Jason Whitlock's caption said, Colin Kaepernick stopped by the studio today. And of course, you know, we got in Jason Whitlock's ass, as we always do. It's all fast. And we had to get in Kid's ass. So, scrolling through YouTube, shout out to Willie D. Willie D of the Ghetto Boys, man. Shout out to Willie D. I would love to have Willie D as a guest on either here on The Fix or on the Freedom Train podcast series on the Freedom Train Network. Shout out to Willie D, man. We got to get Willie D on the network, man. And Willie D being the triple OG that he is, being the OG style trio that he is, you know, through his talk show, he had Kid on the show. So apparently Willie D and Kid have a long-existing relationship, and they have a relationship where they can actually sit down this man-to-man and talk about these matters. So Willie D had Kid on the show. And like, man, what the hell? What's going on? So you tell us what's going on. Now, first thing first is Kid looked like he'd been smoking some angel dust laced with booty juice. Something. Brother looked stoned high. Like, I'm talking about, you know what I'm saying? Let me say it. Let me explain this, man. See, Jason and I, we go back, and let me, if it was Halloween, would you have city fits? That's how you sound. And if you don't believe me, go to YouTube, subscribe to Willie D channel. All you got to do is type in Kid and Willie D. Go to YouTube and look at it. It's a whole interview. They're talking about it. Willie D got in his ass. Willie D called him out, and Willie D told him like it is. He's like, basically, hey, man. But hold on, before I get too deep in that. So, also, Kid could not, it seemed like he couldn't necessarily hold his head up. It was kind of seeing his eyes. Kid didn't look like he was all the way there, all the way conscious, like he was on some kind of substance. Like I say, it like some angel dust and Buddha juice that he was on. It's something, I don't know. Maybe Jason Whitlock slipped a side of pork ribs or something, and whatever Kid was smoking. So I don't know, but Kid didn't look like he was in his right mind, right? Now, I don't want to go on and just saying, make it seem like I'm saying Kid abuses substances. What I'm saying is, it looked as if he was on a substance, right? And so, and before I get too deep, I do want to let y'all know that my man Patrick Irvin, who is my boxing slash political analyst, will be joining the show in a little bit. Because as we get later into the show, we got some political stuff we need to talk about. But Patrick Irvin going to be joining me on the show. So sit tight for that. But Kid is on the Willie D show explaining his situation, explaining why. And now one thing, first of all, Willie D told him, Kid, you fucked up. And then Kid say, you know what, Willie, I fucked up. Now, I will say that I do give Kid credit for admitting that he fucked up. He admitted it. He admitted that what he did was a bad look. Now, at some points in the interview, he was trying to defend his position. And that's where the statements that I was just making earlier, even though I was mocking his seemingly drug-induced tone, he was asking the question that if he had showed up to a Halloween party dressed as Colin Kaepernick, would it have been a big deal? Nah, not really going to a Halloween party, but you intentionally dressed up for that for a Jason Whitlock segment to mock the movement. And see, that's the total difference. You showing up to the Jason Whitlock show dressed as Colin Kaepernick to mock the movement, and you admit that you were looking for attention. You see, that's what I like about Willie D. Willie D gonna bring the truth at you. Because from my understanding on the streets, everybody know Willie D is more legendarily known for his hands than anything else. And seemingly, Willie D whooped his ass, right? He'll find him and put that OG trail on him, right? But Kid admitted that he fucked up. But the look was still bad. And then his response and him coming on in that seemingly drug-induced state still don't make Kid look good. And also Kid admitting that he's looking for attention don't make it look good. That's not a good look, Kid. It's not a good look because you're one of the cats who we looked up to growing up because of the music that you and Play brought to the table. And as you also admitted, your actions do affect the Kid and Play brand. Play don't have nothing to do with it, but Play can take some hits and probably did take some hits from your actions. But you have to admit, Kid, that that was some cool ass shit you did. You got to admit that that was. And you have to stand and recognize, well, I'm not going to lie, you recognize what you did was wrong. But the fact that you did it, you still need to further atone in some sort of manner for your actions. This is not a time for any type of momentum that we're trying to build for ourselves to be mocked. And for you saying that those who know you know your position. So if those who know your position, and at the same time you know that you know your position, and you understand that your position, or you say as you vocalize that your position is with the people. So if your position is with the people, your position should be with the people in all manners. You looking for attention or searching for attention or doing things to garner attention, more attention to yourself, and doing things that is mocking any type of momentum that we're trying to garner for ourselves is unacceptable. And I'm glad Willie D drug your ass verbally for it. But I am pleased that you were man enough to realize your mistakes. But we don't need you doing nothing like that again. And whatever's going on in your life, I hope nothing's bad is going on in your life. But you didn't look like you didn't look good in a good state. You didn't look good. It didn't look good. It wasn't a good look. Everything was not a good look. And we expect more from you as a black man who we looked up to and we admired the positivity that you and Play brought to the table. We expect black men, black people, we expect more from you right now. We expect more from our black people, our black men, our black players. We expect it's almost like the NFL players. Like you got a lot of NFL players who can make things happen. It's like some of the NFL players are the house niggas of the sports world. Now, I'm a pause on that thought, and I'm going to come back to that because, yeah, I said it, and I meant what I said, and I'm going to back up what I said. Well, we got my main man, Patrick Irvin, who joined in the fix. What's going down, Pat?
No much. Nah, I want to hear you finish that thought.
Oh, man, you boy, bro, you already know. I just had to go ahead and bring you in so we can go ahead and do this because, man, hey, we're going in today. So what led into that is, are you familiar with the situation that happened between with Kid and Play, with Kid from Kid and Play going on the Jason Whitlock show dressed as Colin Kaepernick?
I'm familiar with it. I'm not. I didn't actually see it or anything like that. But I know we had some conversations in the past where you brought me somewhat up to speed on it.
Right now, Willie D of the Ghetto Boys, you know, OG Trill. 5-star OG General, and Willie D don't play. So Willie D has his own podcast, his own vlog, rather, on YouTube, the Willie D Show. And Willie D had Kid on, he interviewed Kid, and they're talking about the situation, and basically Willie D drug his ass verbally and called him out. And was like, hey man, how could you How could you dress up like that on the show of a bootlicking coon? Like Willie wasn't holding his words. And I encourage everybody to subscribe to Willie D channel. Go to YouTube, type in Willie D. You can type in Kid and Willie D. You can see the interview. But Kid did admit that he fucked up. He did.
Did he not know what was going to happen?
Well, I don't. He act like he didn't know. He act like he did and he didn't. That's what the tone was. But the biggest thing is Kid. I don't want to go out and say and try to make it seem like I'm saying Kid on drugs. But Kid looked like I just said earlier. Kid looked like he was smoking some angel dust laced with booty juice, man. Something. It ain't look right. I swear. It ain't look right, man. It wasn't a good look. He didn't sound coherent, as coherent as he should have been. But in his response, he said he did messed up. He said he did understand how that bring bad light to not only his name, but bad light to the Kid and Play brand. But Willie D did let him know, man, you fucked up. Like, you went on a bootlicking coon show and did those acts, and Kid tried to, in some manner, he was trying to defend himself, like, hey, well, if I showed up to a Halloween party dressed like that, would it be an issue? Showing up to a Halloween party and showing up to a bootlicking coon like Jason Whitlock's show, who Jason Whitlock's sole mission right now is to try to undermine Colin Kaepernick's efforts or the movement total. And not saying that this is the black movement, but this is some sort of momentum that we have, and whatever type of momentum, whether it's real or not, which it momentum needs to be sustained, because that we all know what momentum can turn into.
Mm-hmm.
So and that led me going into looking at calling out our black men, and not just our black men, but our black athletes, but even looking at the scope of things in the realm of black athletes. And I say, and not all NFL players, but there's a lot of NFL players who have the ability to take stands, who are stars, who if they take a stand, it won't hurt them as much as the 53rd man on the roster, but they're not saying nothing. Then you got somebody like a LeSean McCoy, who goes out of his way to undermine Colin Kaepernick's efforts or even to take a knee, anything that's around him, and LeSean McCoy is basically saying he ain't good enough to do that. LeSean McCoy is a house nigga he's one of the house nigga NFL players. And I say not most of the NFL players, but the NFL players who are choosing to act like nothing is happening, they are the house niggas of the sports world for one, the contracts that they sign. I mean, they bound by their contracts. Like, those owners have more control over them than any other sport. And that's why I make those statements like that. Not all NFL players, not all NFL stars, but it's a lot who they need to get their shit together. That's why I say that. So, man, it's amazing the things that happen, that we see happen, that go on and in our community that affects our people. And then we get stunts like Kid, like the one Kid took. We get the stunts. Like, all right, he apologized. He went on and he's saying what he's saying, cool. But still, we don't need you doing no shit like that. You know better. And we still got to get in your ass for doing that because you know better.
Mm-hmm.
So now, that's enough about that. I want to get off that topic, but I'm glad you got great timing. You got great timing because Jay-Z has said, no, both of us hip-hop heads, we've had great conversations about hip-hop, activism, black liberation, all these things here, sports included. So the Super Bowl and the NFL wanted Jay-Z to perform at halftime. Hov said no. Hov turned down the Super Bowl. And I want to get your thoughts on that. What you think about that? Like, as a from as a hip hop head, from a person in the black community who's working for the black liberation, and as somebody who do enjoy sports, what you think about Jay-Z just saying hell no to the NFL for Super Bowl?
I mean, And I didn't do a lot of research on it because I did remember reading somewhere that there was some report saying that it wasn't true, and I'm sure you can provide a little more insight on that angle of it. But, you know, on face value, I think it's a good look. Actually, if we're talking about, you know, like you just said, building momentum, capitalizing on leverage, keeping things going. You know, I've been critical of Jay-Z on a lot of his moves,
right.
A lot of things he's done, said. A lot of times he's tried to invoke the name of the black community to support his brand and various other things. But this is a solidly good look.
Yes, it is.
You know, the Super Bowl is one of the largest platforms in the world. And, you know, I know a lot of people can make the argument that Jay-Z doesn't need the platform, this, that, or the third. But the fact of the matter is, Jay-Z dropped the album. Doing the Super Bowl would definitely help his brand, help his album sales. It would help. Like, doing the Super Bowl is never a bad thing. Even when you mess up the Super Bowl, you still come out on top because of the Super Bowl.
Right.
You know, Janet Jackson's titty, you know, according to some people, revived her career.
Right.
So,
Dane Show catapulted Justin Timberlake, who he wasn't a part of it, who was the absolute person to rip the titty out.
Hey, man, Justin Timberlake went to a whole nother level. For
I swear on his ass, man.
A black titty out on national TV. The Super Bowl is huge, though. And you know, for him to say no, you know, like, I don't even think that needs to be broken down for people. Like, if you don't understand the significance of somebody like a Jay-Z saying no to the Super Bowl, then, you know, we got to start with the basics. We got to go all the way back to the beginning for you, because we can't, I don't think we can break that down in the short 10, 15 minute session on, you know, but it's huge. You definitely,
yeah.
You can't do anything but give Jay-Z props.
Man, you, right, exactly. And one of the reasons why I wanted you to come on and be able to say something like that, because one is, you know, us, we keep it real. Like, we're going to tell the truth. But you have to give praise when praise is due. So,
right.
As far as, now, my sources are ESPN, ESPN Radio, as well as Sports Illustrated, as far as Jay-Z turning down the Super Bowl. So, and I'm looking at an article on Sports Illustrated right now that's saying, Jay-Z did say that he's not performing at the Super Bowl, and reports that I was reading in videos and everything that I was looking at yesterday. So apparently, some people are trying to say that Jay-Z turned down the Super Bowl because of money, but we all know that Jay-Z really don't need the money.
Jay-Z
really don't need that stage. Like, If he and Beyonce got to do is say, I'm coming to your city, and it's going to be sold out within 3 minutes. So Jay-Z don't need the Super Bowl. But the reports that I came across, and I'm not saying these reports are true, but the reports that I came across were saying that basically the NFL tried Jay. Because they tried, first of all, they were going to give him, they were either trying to get him to do it for free or get a package deal of Jay-Z and Beyonce for one price. One like discounted price, and so that's what some of the reports are saying. But no, I mean, come on, really? Yeah. And then, you know, some people are saying, well, hey, why would he turn it down? His wife performed, and it was like, well, Beyonce even performed twice. And like Shannon Sharp said, and even on Fox Sports, Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless talking about this. Apparently, Jay-Z was at the top of their list. Apparently, Jay-Z was their number one choice to perform at the Super Bowl, or the reports wouldn't have came out. So, for Jay-Z, but a lot of people are saying that, well, the Super Bowl would have been a great place for Jay-Z to perform the story of OJ. I disagree. Jay-Z's actions spoke louder than what would have ever come out of that song, because you got people who have, well, you know, people don't understand in white minds and black minds. That's why we got to be speaking our piece like we are now. But Jay-Z don't need to perform at Super Bowl. Now, Jay-Z is a smart dude. Jay-Z understands that performing at the Super Bowl would not be a great look in the midst of what's going on, especially after he just gave a shout-out to Colin Kaepernick. He dedicated the his one performances to Colin Kaepernick. So to do that and then perform at Super Bowl, that would be backwards. That's like Chrisette Michelle performing with Donald Trump. You ain't heard about her since.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. And even to that, you know, even if it does come to light that Jay-Z, you know, opted not to take the performance because they tried him on a contract, you know, it's still, no matter how you slice it, it's still a good look for Jay-Z considering the time we're in. That's the statement that, and the statement that's being made is bigger than even in the support saying I support or I stand with Colin Kaepernick. Jay-Z, the statement being made with this is that as a black business owner, a black entrepreneur, and a black artist, I don't need the largest platform you can give me. I don't need it. You know, like, you, if you really want to break down the psychology of what that statement in and of itself means, even if you take all the reasons out of it, just the psychology of that statement in and of itself, in a world where people are always talking about we can't, we got to play in the white leagues because we can't build our own league. We got to do things the way in the white world because we can't do, you know, we can't create our own spaces. We have to oblige them because we can't do things on our own. In a world where people are saying that, they're not using those words, but they're basically saying that and trying to be cute about it. So a black entertainer, a black artist, a black entrepreneur, a black businessman, a black brand, stepping up to the Super Bowl, which, again, I would go ahead and say that is literally the largest platform in America. Now, I know
yeah,
they got
it is, some, as far as performance, it is.
Right. Now, we know they got some larger platforms overseas, but there is nothing larger in America than a Super Bowl performance. You got, you know, 20-30% of the country watching.
Like, nobody turns down a Super Bowl. Nobody.
Right. Right.
Except, but you know what? To me, this is, I'm surprised Boyce Watkins ain't jumped on with us with some video like, hey, and this is why financial independence is so great. And not, you know, Boyce, not to try to be throwing no shade at Boyce, but his voice is funny, but seriously though, Jay-Z being able to say no to the Super Bowl is a great example of one, him dropping his nuts for one,
right,
but being in a position to drop his nuts,
right,
having F you money.
Right, because no other, you'd be hard pressed to think of any other rap act that whose brand could survive saying no to the Super Bowl.
Right. I mean, especially what I would say on his level, like P. Diddy would not say no to the Super Bowl.
No.
50 Cent, I could see 50 Cent saying no. I just see 50.
But that's because 50 Cent is an arrogant asshole, and I don't know what Shane's saying.
Right. Right. No, but see that. But once again, like 50 just, excuse my, I'm gonna just say this for lack of better expression. 50 just a real nigga, man. That's just what he is. That's just what 50 Cent is. So I wouldn't even put him in that same category as far as Jay-Z, as far as the way white America would look at him. Because I wouldn't dare say as far as the money and the prestige, because 50 dropped 12 million at the gate. I mean, damn. But, you know, there are a few acts, like you said, there are a few rap acts on that level who would say no. P. Diddy would definitely not say no. P. Diddy would, man, he would be jumping and running up and down. That would be another Bad Boy reunion right there on that stage if it was up to P. Diddy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But,
no, you're right.
But you know, we got, you know what? I mean, we got to give shouts out to Jay-Z, man. We got to, our studio audience, man, we got to show some love to Jay-Z for taking that stand, man.
That's definitely, like you said, having fuck you money, having the money to be able to say no to a platform like that, to, you know, like that, like, and I don't think anybody would not understand the magnitude of saying no to the NFL. And then you know, like for me, you know, you go back to breaking it down, you start talking about trends that could possibly be being set. You know, usually all it takes is one person to do something before other people start having that same courage, that same will to do it.
Yeah, so see, my bad. Not to cut you off, but see, because you said that what you're saying, it's a jump segue into my weekly rant.
Because, oh,
I'm not going to the rant now. That's what I'm saying. I'm going to the rant later. But you just make me think about it, because when you're saying that, you're making me think about, I wonder what the NFL players are going to do this week. But I don't want to go too far into it before we get to the rant. But I'm just saying, you're making me think about that.
Oh no, so. But you know, because like you look at in sports, not just like, you know, a lot of people talk about the barriers in performance. You know, for a long time, people struggled breaking the 5-minute mile. And then once somebody broke it, you know what I'm saying, within 3 or 4 months, 5 or 6 other people had broken it.
Right.
You know, when you look at, you know, you can go down the line through every sport and see barriers in performance where once one person broke through the barrier, all of a sudden, it's like psychologically every other player is like, oh, well, shit, he do it. He did it, so I can do it. And it's the same way in life, in terms of sociology, in terms of culture, in terms of community.
Man.
When one person does something, all of a sudden it opens everybody else's eyes up. They might have thought about it, but they might have not had the courage to do it. They might, for whatever reason, nobody did it. Now that Jay-Z has said no to the Super Bowl performance, you wonder what spark. This, you know, if is there going to be a spark?
And you know what? Jay-Z has protection from the Beehive.
Oh, yeah.
Say something wrong, because now you're going to mix Jay-Z fans into the Beehive. And the Beehive are already crazy as hell.
Yeah, they are. They are.
So look, so say something wrong about Jay-Z and Beyonce if you want to.
They are. Especially if Beyonce come out and supported Jay-Z, that's all the protection he
And you know she will.
Because, look, I'm not even the biggest Beyonce fan, but I won't say anything bad about her because I don't need all that pressure in my life.
Man, that Beehive going to get you. That Beehive going to get you, man. I'm telling you, man. But those are two people. Now, I'm not the biggest fans of both of them. And, you know, we've had these conversations, but right. We have to start giving credit to credit due, because Beyonce and Jay-Z are starting doing unprecedented things. Like people like LeBron James and all these people who you and I feel as activists, I mean, athletes and entertainers are doing their parts as activists and entertainers and playing their lane as activists, I mean, athletes and entertainers, because it is our activist's job to get active, but it's our athletes and entertainers' job to support the action that our activists create. And I think that's what they're doing, because oftentimes we're expecting Jay-Z and Beyonce to be activists, and they're not.
Right, they're not. And that's why, like I said, I can appreciate this move. I definitely can, because of the stance that he's taking. You want them to show support and solidarity, but at the end of the day, you know, I say it all the time. I want their money, not their voice.
Right.
And so. You know, but like you said, Beyonce and Jay-Z have over the last few years really been putting their money where their mouth is in a lot of regards. There have been increasingly reports coming out of them financing this or funding that or putting their money here. And to be honest, I want to be clear, I don't think they're doing anything special in the sense that they're doing anything unique or praiseworthy or what should be considered out of the ordinary. I think they're doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. The problem is there aren't enough other black celebrities and entertainers that are doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Right.
So it makes Beyonce and Jay-Z seem like these paragons when really they're doing what rich black people are supposed to fucking do. The rest of you guys are losers.
And the last point on that is, before we got to move on, but the last point on that, I saw a picture on social media the other day of Colin Kaepernick. He was in a meeting with this white guy, and the guy, the D-Ray white guy, I mean, the black dude D-Ray, who's part of the Black Lives Matter organization that hijacked the Black Lives Matter movement, and the caption was, "See, this is why I'm not protesting the NFL, because he's meeting with these guys." I don't know who the white guy is, but I do know about the history of the guy who's D-Ray, because they're one of the people who more so want to push LGBTQ agendas over overall black agendas. And so I don't know what to make about that picture and all that, but we've been said here on The Fix, and you and I have been said, this is bigger than Cap. Cap created something that has become bigger than him, because it was bigger than him before he actually created it. So right. Him meeting with them has nothing to do with me not watching the NFL. The total disrespect of the owners of the NFL and the NFL as a whole is one of the reasons why we're not watching the NFL. It has nothing to do with who the hell Cap me. Because if it was just based solely off of the alliances that Cap made, I would be watching the NFL. Because Cap softened his stance within a week of sitting down. He met with that Marine when he went from sitting to kneeling. So, hey.
I do want to say this real quick, though. And I know it's your show, and I'm, you know. But
now, go ahead.
I do want to address the you know, like everybody keeps saying, Cap created a Cap, and I know it's just cliche, and I know, you know, you're just, you know, using things that people can relate to. But on a deeper level, we have to understand, Cap didn't create anything.
Right.
He drew attention to something that other athletes before him had already been drawing attention to but had been being ignored. So Cap created awareness, you know, and he created a spark or an energy, I will say that. But the issues, like you said earlier, the issues, Cap is not the first person to draw attention to the issues, not even the first NFL player to draw attention to the issues. So I think people are hung up on this Cap thing because they think this is Kaepernick's thing. Like, he created this, he's the first person to do this. And it's like that, no, there were people doing this before Cap. There are people that have been more successful at it than Cap, maybe not creating awareness or media spectacle, but at actually influencing and impacting the communities. And there are going to be people that will do it after Cap. So, you know, that's not to take anything away from Cap. But I do think right now we're giving Cap too much shine, if you will. And the Cap is becoming the issue.
Yeah. No, I got you. Because we're no longer focused on police brutality against unarmed black people, and we're mostly focusing on Kaepernick. So.
Right.
Yeah. All right, folks. So, y'all know we get it in. So, let's talk about a little college football. I'm going to give you a little recap of college football. Pat, just ride with me, because it's going to be funny. Ride with me. So, I personally watched yesterday. I watched Florida State lose to NC State. I watched Florida beat Kentucky. I watched Iowa. I watched a little bit of the last parts of Iowa, Penn State, and a little bit of USC, UC, Cal. I personally watched those. Now, the first game that I'm going to talk about, this was our Thursday game. I did watch this. Well, I watched a little bit of it because, hey, South Florida ran through the University of Temple. And South Florida is 4-0 on the season. Temple is 2-2. South Florida beat them 43-7. And when I say they ran through them, I literally mean they ran through. I mean, their running backs were just up and down the field, up and down, up and down. Like, South Florida players looked like they were two times bigger than Temple players. So 43-7 was the score of South Florida beating Temple. Then we have Utah. They beat Arizona. Utah is actually 4-0 in the Pac-12. You know me, I'm a Southern guy. I like SEC, ACC football. I just think Southern football is a better brand. So to me, to be 4-0 in the Pac-12 don't really mean nothing to me. Hey, but that's just me. But Utah, nevertheless, came out 30-24 over the University of Arkansas. Now, a game that people thought was going to be competitive. I have no reason why people thought this game was going to be competitive, but people all week were talking about how Vanderbilt was going to actually give Alabama a challenge, give them a game. The game was over at halftime. The game was 31-0 at halftime.
Alabama had 495 rushing yards in the game. Listen, think about what I'm saying. They almost had 500 rushing yards in this game. They had Jalen Hurts, or as a team, they had 181 passing yards. Jalen Hurts had 78 passing yards. Like, their starting quarterback. Like, their running game was so good that their starting quarterback had 78 passing yards. Like, dude, Jalen Hurts went 9 for 17 for 78 yards. Think about that. But they totaled up 496 rushing yards, right? D. Harris had 12 carries for 151 yards, 3 touchdowns. Bo Scarborough had 11 carries, 79 yards, 2 touchdowns. The other Harris, N. Harris, had 10 carries for 70 yards. Robinson had 5 carries for 51 yards and a touchdown. Jalen Hurts had 9 carries for 48 yards. R. Clark had 10 carries for 48 yards. Everybody had a carry. My grandma had a carry. Pat had a carry. Jamie had a carry. Oprah had a carry. Dr. Phil had a carry. Everybody had a carry. Pat. They told people that Vanderbilt was going to be good. Vanderbilt got their ass whooped. 59-0. Yeah, so moving on. But dog, you should have heard the talk all week about how Vanderbilt was a better team. Vanderbilt has a good defense. Vanderbilt was actually gonna give Alabama a show. And the game was over 31 in the halftime. So yeah. So moving on, Clemson played Boston College. You know, historically, Boston College has a good defense. But they ran into Clemson, and Clemson won 34-7. Clemson dropped 27 points in the fourth quarter on Boston College. Now, it was competitive. Like I said, Boston College does have defense, but Boston College overall, and I've seen Boston College play live. They came here to Dope Campbell, FSU. I've seen Boston College play live. They have big, strong athletes that not that good, all right? So going into the fourth quarter, the score was 7-7. Clemson scored a touchdown in the second quarter. Boston College scored a touchdown in the third quarter, but Clemson had 27-point fourth quarter to go away with a 34-7 victory over Boston College. Oklahoma was in the shootout with Baylor. Now, that's one thing I hate about the Big 12 is they don't play no damn defense in the Big 12. So this score was 49-41, Oklahoma over Baylor. Baylor is 0-4, and Oklahoma is 4-0. Now, Baylor, I'm glad Baylor got bad luck because Baylor knew they was signing all them boys that be raping girls, and they tried to act like they didn't know it. Now, Baylor getting what they deserve. They lost scholarships. They've been punished and all those things. You got to do a better job of stop trying to just get wins. When you go out and you recruit a player, you recruited a player from Boise State who had already sexually assaulted a young lady. Then you bring that player into Baylor, and then he sexually assaults another young lady or two at Baylor, and y'all want to act like y'all ain't know it happened. I'm glad Baylor losing, and I hope Baylor keep losing. God damn it. Now, Penn State and Iowa. Penn State, hey, their running back, Saquon Barkley, I think that young man is the best running back in the nation. Saquon Barkley had 28 carries for 211 yards and a touchdown. If you have not seen Saquon Barkley play, go to YouTube and type in Saquon. His name is Saquan Barkley, B-A-R-K-L-E-Y. The young man is bad. Penn State pulled out a squeaker over the Iowa Hawkeyes, 21-19. Coming down, it actually came down to the literal final play of the game. Penn State's quarterback, the ball is height. He rolls out to the right. There's a mad scramble. The running back ran an excellent route. He ran a post, but he stemmed his post. Actually, he ran like a corner post, basically. He ran a corner post, but his stem on that corner route was so excellent that linebacker opened his hips up. And as soon as that linebacker opened his hips up, he stuck it and stemmed back to the post and caught that post. And the quarterback made a good throw because he threw it in traffic, and it just got over the hands of the Iowa Hawkeye defender. Touchdown, Penn State win. It was 4 seconds left on the clock, It was amazing because I had just got through watching Florida win in the last minute of the game. So it was amazing to go from that Florida game to that Penn State-Iowa game. So, yes. So USC beats Cal in the shootout. You know, the two quarterbacks, Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen, you know, but Darnold came out on top. USC had a 30-20 victory over Cal. TCU beat Oklahoma State. Once again, I told y'all about the Pac-12. They don't play defense. The score is 44-31. TCU came out on top. Washington beat Colorado 37-10. Michigan beat Purdue 28-10. Ohio State beat UNLV like they were supposed to, 54-21. Whoever the hell loses to UNLV, your whole program should be wiped away. UNLV lost to Caitlin Newton and Hampton. So, y'all should, yeah. I mean, not Hampton, but Howard. They lost to Howard, so they should not have no real college football win. Georgia beat Mississippi State 31-3. They actually blanked them. Nick Chubb went crazy. Florida State and NC State. I was watching this game, and Florida State's offensive line is hot garbage. I mean, hot garbage. Them boys look like turnstiles out there. Florida State's freshman quarterback, Blackman. He's 6'4", 169 pounds, and you can tell NC State has his defensive end number 9 named Chubb. And Chubb has a whole year's worth of highlights off this one game. Pat, Buddy was in the backfield so much, you thought he played running back for Florida State. Until his helmet was in the quarterback's chest too much. Your quarterback weighed 169 pounds. And what was funny about this game between the Florida State offensive lineman and the NC State defensive lineman is after the defensive lineman sacked the quarterback and roughed him up, the offensive lineman went to run over and try to push him off. Hey, you roughing up my quarterback. Bitch, if you would have blocked from the beginning, you wouldn't have had to worry about your quarterback being on the ground weighing 169 pounds. So NC State beats Florida State. Florida State goes to 2-0 on the year, and that makes Florida A&M, who has the best record in Tallahassee right now, going back to the 90s. So Virginia Tech blanked Old Dominion 38-0. Miami beat Toledo 52-30. Auburn beat Missouri 51-14. Washington State beat Nevada 45-7. Louisville beat Kent State 42-3. Florida beat Kentucky in the thriller 28-27. Watching this game, mid third quarter, you can see Kentucky. Even after Kentucky scored their last touchdown, Kentucky scored a touchdown in the third quarter. And after that last touchdown they scored, you can see Kentucky kind of they were losing it. They were cracking under the pressure. Florida was not doing anything great, but big plays. Like, Florida kept making big plays. Florida's receiver, Cleveland, he's making big plays. And you could just see Kentucky just cracking under the pressure. Florida's defense, man. Shout out to Florida's defense. Florida's defense always comes through. And, Pat, how about this? How old are you now, Pat?
Damn, 31. 32.
You 31?
32.
You 32?
32.
The last time Kentucky beat Florida, you were shitting in your diapers. Think about that. Florida has beaten Kentucky 31 years in a row. This game was supposed to be the game where Kentucky beat the streak. Kentucky was almost there. Kentucky was almost there, and they cracked under the pressure. They cracked under the pressure to lose to Florida for the 31st year in a row. Like, what do you say to your players after a game like that?
They had our number.
Again.
Right.
Hey, nah, that's funny, though. But, hey, man, that's the world of football. I was glad as a person who likes football in the state of Florida, I was glad that Florida won. So Florida's actually 2-1 on the season, and everybody in the state of Florida got a better record than Florida State right now. But to Florida State's, to their defense, they haven't played in 2 weeks. So San Diego State beat Air Force 28-24, games nobody really care about. Oregon beat Oregon lost to Arizona State 37-35. Syracuse lost to LSU 26-35. The fact that Syracuse scored 26 points on LSU is a big problem. But hey, that is our college football recap. Oh yeah, Texas A&M coach Kevin Sumlin. He is lucky that Texas A&M pulled out the squeaker over Arkansas that they did in the overtime, because I feel if Texas A&M would have lost this game, Kevin Sumlin would be fired today. Now, he extended his coaching probably a week or two, but a couple more losses at Texas A&M and Kevin Sumlin going to be out of there. So, hey, man, hope he don't get fired. I hate to see a black man get fired, but, man, you got to win. So check this out, Pat. Let's move on. Check this out.
What up?
Dwight Howard was traded from the Atlanta Hawks to the Charlotte Hornets. Michael Jordan co-signed on that, on bringing in Dwight Howard.
Ain't Dwight Howard, like, not what he's supposed to be?
Exactly. Now, you with me. We're on the same page. You with me. So we're talking about an aged Dwight Howard who can still defend, who still get rebounds and defend, but his offensive moves are non-existent.
Gotcha.
So his offensive moves are like me doing a robot, and I can't do the robot.
Ain't Michael Jordan proving himself to be a not very good?
Bam! Now you with me. So he just made a peanut butter and mayonnaise sandwich. And on top of that, remember, I was watching something. I forgot what I was watching, but somebody made a good point. Remember Dwight Howard in L.A., and Dwight Howard could not get along with Kobe Bryant and Kobe Bryant's personality, right?
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Kobe Bryant is a mirror image of who? Which NBA player is Kobe Bryant the mirror image of?
Tell him, Joe. Don't make me guess.
Michael Jordan. Like the hood people say, Malcolm Jordan. Michael Jordan.
Kobe Bryant. They don't say that in the hood, bro.
Well, around here they do. Them little boys who ain't learned how to really pronounce his name yet.
Mm.
That just be so funny. Who your favorite player? Malcolm Jordan.
Oh, I got you.
But Michael Jordan's personality is worse than Kobe Bryant's as far as pushing the players to give their all.
See, and that's why I see you trying to set me up for the okie doke, because I'm sitting here thinking, okay, what active players is on that team that remind me? And I was like, yeah, I can't think of no active players on that team.
Okay, I did set you up. My bad.
Yep, see, that's why I ain't see. Go ahead.
But, all right, so Kobe Bryant, that's fair. So Kobe Bryant's personality is on par with Michael Jordan's, but we know Michael Jordan a little more intense than Kobe.
Yeah.
So bringing in Dwight Howard with his fragile personality, his fragile mindset, his diminishing skills into a situation with Michael Jordan as the owner, who's saying that he thinks that he can get the best out of Dwight Howard.
Yeah.
Right. Now, as you said earlier, Michael Jordan has proven himself to not be a good owner or general manager or president. He don't make good moves and don't bring the best players or the right players to his team to make his team better. And now he's bringing in Dwight Howard. So.
Yeah, just another day in the life of watching Michael Jordan destroy his. Well, I guess he ain't destroying his legacy, but he's definitely proven that his legacy is restricted to the basketball court playing on it.
Oh, yeah. Nah, yeah. His executive track record is straight trash.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about straight trash. Damn, MJ. Okay. And you just made the East weaker. You just made it easier for LeBron and the Cavaliers to flow straight to the Eastern Conference Finals, maybe play the Boston Celtics, beat them, and whoever come out the West.
Well,
most likely to go
to
State.
Celtics, though?
I mean,
Celtics got Kyrie.
Right, but we've never seen Kyrie really lead a team into the playoffs or really lead a team to stuff like that. So
I was joking.
But, you know, that's my take. I just want to give my take on MJ and Dwight Howard. I just don't think it's going to work. To me.
I'm with you.
I just don't. I just don't. So, yeah. Good luck, though. Good luck, you know.
I mean, good luck to all of them. You know, good luck to Kyrie, too. You know.
Right.
Since I brought him
right.
up, I gotta say that.
There you
good
go.
Luck, Kyrie. Shit.
Uncle Drew. So while we're talking about basketball, you know I got to talk about my ladies. You know I got to talk about my ladies, my WNBA ladies. I got to keep y'all informed on what's going on in the WNBA. It's on. I talked about it last week. It's going down. Starting today, 3:45, the Los Angeles Sparks versus the Minnesota Lynx in the rematch. It's going down. Last year, the LA Sparks won, but this year, the Minnesota Lynx gonna take it. They're gonna take it. So the LA Sparks, they swept the Phoenix Mercury, and the Minnesota Lynx swept the Washington Mystics. So it's on. I mean, the best two teams in the league. They had two best records in the league, and they get to have this rematch. So we got you got Sylvia Fowles representing the Lynx, coming in with 18 points a game, 18.9, almost 19 points a game. Naka Ogumoke for the Sparks coming in with 18.8 points a game. Second scoring leaders, my baby Maya Moore. She's scoring 17 points a game in the playoffs. Candace Parker with 16.9. Sylvia, you got Lindsey Whalen. Even though same as last year, Lindsey Whalen, Simone Augustus, Maya Moore, and Sylvia Fowles. I think that they will be able to get it. Even though Elena Beard, Candace Parker, Neka Gumuke, two great teams, man. Y'all make sure y'all tune in to ABC for the WNBA Finals. I mean, this is a best of five series. Game one is today. Game two going to be Tuesday, game three Friday, game four Sunday if necessary. But, man, I got to support these women, man. This is great basketball. I'm excited. You should be excited. You probably ain't excited as I'm excited. I don't give a damn because I'm excited. Pat, get excited.
Oh, I'm super excited, bro. I mean,
yeah.
If I follow basketball, it would definitely be the women.
Man, I'm telling you, man. WNBA basketball is good basketball. As well as I like women's college basketball as well. I like that too. So all right. My weekly rant. You ready for the rant?
That's what I've been listening for.
The rant is gonna start with Durant. Kevin Durant. Come on, man. You got to get out your feelings, Kevin. You have truly, truly got to get out your feelings, KD. So, during this past week, KD goes on the social media account and basically talks bad about Billy Donovan and the Thunder and the organization, players, coaches, and things, how he wanted to get out, how he wasn't happy. And then he was talking, he spoke about it, or he typed about it in a third-person manner as if it wasn't him, but it was from his account. And then, you know, making it seem like, hey, well, this ain't me saying this. Then he had to come back and admit that he said it. And now you got his players at, or reportedly, the players in Golden State are looking at him kind of funny, like, come on, KD, you kicking up some dust that you ain't got to kick up. KD, first of all, what the hell, man? Pat, why these young boys so damn sensitive these days, man?
I don't know, man. It's something in the water. You know, they ain't. I don't know. I guess being great at whatever they is ain't enough no more.
Because it's like, all right, look. If you wasn't happy with those folk and whatever you had, whatever issues, whatever you had as grown men, you go ahead, take it up with the people that you got it with. Stop with all this. flugazi stuff, all this back and forth, all this behind the scenes, hide behind your social medias and all this. Man, what happened to the days of the real dudes, man? Where the real G's at? What happened to the days when you had an issue with somebody, you went and stepped to them face to face, or you handled it, or you called them up or something like that? What happened to those days? What happened to it? Now we in the days where everybody's flugazi, man. Everybody is flugazi out here in these streets, out here in this world. And everybody, I want to hide behind the social media accounts and come up with all this other crazy stuff. And then, you know, I don't know, man. I'm not saying men can't have feelings. I'm not saying men can't have emotions. But some of y'all dudes are extraordinarily emotional to an unhealthy level that we don't need. And y'all starting to make me look at y'all differently, man. Look, KD, stop. Look, if you're going to say it like a G. And if you ain't going to say it, don't say it. Don't be half-stepping and don't have to come back and have to cover your tracks. All right, I said it. Like, if you're going to say it, say it. Like, that's one thing about Donald Trump you might not like. Trump G enough to say, hell yeah, I said it, and I'm going to get back to Trump. But if you're going to say it and stand behind it. Stop with all the flu gazing. Stop trying to hide behind. Like, come to find out, a lot of these players got, they have fake social media accounts to respond to the people that hurt their feelings when they tweet that. Man, be real with it. Be real with it, man. Come on, man. Be real with it. First of all, stop. Y'all know people love to hate. You know people love to hate. So stop letting these haters get to you. But at the same time, you bringing up an old issue that nobody else is talking about, and you just go on and you just want to blast Billy Donovan, Russell, and the organization about your unhappiness when you, a year removed, you already joined a team that really didn't need you to win the championship. You know, I already joined that team, won your championship, became the finals MVP, and you're supposed to be getting ready to repeat, and you come in here with all this bull. KD, I'm going to need you to get your thumbs out your ass and stop acting like that.
Well, you know, KD, coming into that year where he had crossed over last year, he was talking about how he was going to be a new player, how he was going to be more about himself. Maybe, you know, maybe he just letting us all see the real KD. Maybe that's what's going on.
Well, that's I think you're exactly right. I think we're starting to see the new KD, or the real KD, and KD ain't what we thought he was as far as personality-wise. We thought he was that quiet dude who, you know, was the guy who get along with everybody. And I'm not saying that is anything wrong with his personality. But what I am saying for not just him but all these other guys, these men, is as a man, if you're going to say something, stand behind it. Stand up to it. Don't try to throw the rock and hide your hand. Right, be a man and stand up. If you don't like somebody, tell them you don't like them. And tell them why you don't like them. And y'all supposed to be man enough to squash it. And if it turns to fisticuffs, that means y'all are not mature enough in y'all manhood. But come on, man. Russell ain't thinking about you. The Oklahoma City Thunder ain't thinking about you. The owners ain't thinking about you. Come on, man. Just stay in your lane, stick to your team, and stick to defending your championship instead of acting like a little bitch. Because you're starting to act like J.R. Smith right now.
And we remember J.R. Smith from last week, don't we?
Man, J.R. Smith, a whole hole, man. I ain't gonna lie. If I was playing J.R. Smith, one of the dudes I would want on my team in case somebody try to swing on somebody. But J.R. Smith also got to know, if you don't get in line, I'm swinging on your ass. So, all right, that's it for KD. I don't want to waste too much of my rant on another brother. So, this second part is going to Patrick, your commander-in-chief, your POTUS.
That's Jamie, commander-in-chief.
Donald J. Trump, a.k.a. Agent Orange, a.k.a. Cheeto, a.k.a. Young Short Stabber. So, Young Short Stab has beef with the sports world. So, some of y'all may not know, but before I get to the NFL part, Trump has, you know, been in back and forth little verbal battles with NBA players because the Golden State Warriors refused to go to the White House a while ago. They said that the invitation was sent to the Warriors. The Warriors said they're not going. Turns out the North Carolina basketball team not going either. We know the Patriots went, but we all know Robert Kraft is a Trump supporter. He's one of the NFL owners who, one of the eight NFL owners who donated money to the Trump campaign, but I'm come back to that. But the invitation was given out to the Golden State Warriors. Golden State Warriors, the whole team, declined. And then Trump comes out later and saying, whatever he got into with Steph Curry, basically saying that the invitation to visit the White House for Steph Curry is rescinded. And Steph Curry like, bitch, I wasn't coming anyway. Hey, you talking about Donnie? I wasn't coming anyway. But, you know, but before we get to that, because LeBron called him a bum on the Twitter account. But Donald Trump went on social media, during a lecture or whatever, he was a speaking engagement, Donald Trump went on, you know, saying that the NFL tripping, the NFL needs to fire and or suspend all the players who are disrespecting the flag with their protest. The NFL is losing ratings because of the protest. The NFL needs to bring back more of the violence that they had in the game. They need to relax the rules and let more of the violence and the hitting happen. Players need to be hit, all that stuff. But he mostly was like the players who, he literally used those sons of bitches who were protesting. So basically all the players who were protesting, they're sons of bitches. And all the owners, he basically calling them soft and calling them out. And then he's calling out the owners who support his campaign, saying, y'all need to do something about this. Y'all need to do something about the players. You need to suspend them. You need to kick them off your team. They don't need to be a part of the NFL. They need to be fired. They're sons of bitches and all that stuff happening. And so NFL and Roger Goodell and them had to release a statement. And Roger Goodell's statement was weak. He's basically saying that Trump is divisive and they're not going to follow the statements, but it's divisive and all those things there. It's a weak-ass statement. But the New England Patriots, the Jacksonville Jaguars, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Dallas Cowboys, I think the L.A. Rams, and three other teams are missing. They are the ones that are on record that have supported the Trump campaign. Donald Trump's comments. Okay, that's young shortstop being young shortstop. Let's not be surprised that shortstop doing what he do. It's the same man that, you know, y'all got on tape talking about grabbing pussy. So this is what shortstop do. Now, my question to the NFL players are, what the hell are y'all gonna do? Because we are, matter of fact, now it's a game that's in London right now. The Jaguars are in the of course, the Jaguars, and I don't understand about the Jaguars because the owner not even damn American. Right, this motherfucker, man, he's one of the people who, if he walked through the airport, they finna search him. He gonna get pulled to the side, and they gonna be searching him for 2 hours. So he not even a white supremacist, but he supports white supremacy. I don't understand that, but Jacksonville, Georgia, I forgot who the Jaguars are playing in London, but they're playing right now in London. But my question to the players, my rant is more so for the players than Donald Trump. NFL players, what are you going to do about this? NFL players, like I said earlier, you guys are right now looking like the house niggas of the sports world. Are you going to show yourselves as house niggas, or are you going to show yourselves as black men who ain't taking this bullshit from these white supremacists in this country? Your owners are telling you that you can't speak out. The president of the United States is a staunch supporter of white supremacy in his words, his actions, his rhetoric, and everything. That your owners, if you play, I like the Cowboys, but every day I wake up, I like the Cowboys less and less. Jerry Jones, I hate Jerry Jones. I've never liked Jerry Jones. I hated Jerry Jones since 1989. He's been the one thing I always hated about the Cowboys. I like the players, but I hate Jerry Jones. It's hard to really rock with the team because that's his team. But these people have come out like NFL players. What you going to do? I understand, like I've said, I understand all 53 on each roster not going to come out and do something. But the ones who have the leverage, what are y'all going to do? What type of response will you all have? You just going to come out with them weak-ass unity displays with your arms locked in? Hey, like the Cleveland, man, the Cleveland soft-ass fucking Browns came out last week locking arms with the police officers talking about this is a show of solidarity. Where was this show of solidarity when Tamir Rice was gunned down in 2 seconds by the police officers? Where was this solidarity by the team after your coach, Hugh Jackson, came out and said that you guys would not be taking a knee? And the next week, y'all did take that soft-ass prayer knee, and you had the one white player with you who's only taking the prayer knee, and my hands are in quotations when I say prayer knee. The one white player, he has a white wife and mixed kids, and because his kids are mixed, he finally decided to say something. But NFL players, what are you going to do? What are you in this? Are you not black men? Do these issues not affect you? Those of you who can take a stand, what are you? What type of stand are you taking? Y'all going to continue to be house niggas or what? What y'all going to do? Because remember, it was our ancestors who took stands for you all to be able to have the platforms that you have. It was our ancestors who took these ass whoopings for you all to be able to run the ball up and down the field. It was our ancestors who had the water holes turned on them, who had the whips cracking their backs, who had the bloodhounds and the German shepherds sicked on them, who were snatched from the shores of Africa and all the other Caribbean places that were raided by these white men. We have a long history of fuckery messing around with these white folks. Black NFL players who have the ability and the leverage to take a stand. What are you going to do? This is week 3 in the NFL. What are you going to do? So I ain't want to do no NFL weekly update this week. Fuck it. What you going to do? I'm calling you out this week. What you going to do? The President of the United States is reinforcing white supremacy's war against you. Against black people. What you gonna do? You gonna play, or you gonna take a stand? Now, I expect y'all to play, but at the same time, I am calling you out. At what point is enough enough? At what point does your heritage matter? Does your history matter? Does your family matter? Because it's already been shown to you with what's happened with Michael Bennett, that your status don't matter. A nigga is a nigga. Look at how they treated Obama as the president. So how do you think they're going to treat you? You are nothing special in this country. They keep telling you to shut up and play ball. And most of you are doing just that, shutting the hell up and playing ball. Is that all you are? Is that all you are house niggas for the NFL? Or are you more than that? Does this matter more to you than running that damn ball up and down that field and collecting them checks? If it don't, I understand. I get it if it don't. I get it. Because we don't need y'all asses anyway. But if it does matter, let your goddamn action show. If it do matter. That's all the hell I got to say about that. Shit, what you say, Pat?
Motherfuckers.
God damn it. You don't know me. You don't know me. Nah, man, we got, dog, it got, man, look, man. At some point, these players have to take a stand. At some point, these players have to realize that they are black people in America. You're black people living on this land, and your position as a football player don't matter. Most of these NFL players, damn it, when you take your helmet off and walk down the street, we don't know who the hell you are anyway.
True.
So you are a regular nigga to everybody else. Think about it. This is bigger than football. If stands were not taken in the past, your ass would not be able to play football today. Black people sacrifice for you. What you gonna do? Hey, man.
I'm right there with you, bro.
At least the NBA players have the guts enough to do something. But at the same time, in all fairness, the NBA players have more leverage. But still, you got to do something. You can't just sit back and let somebody just piss on you and your people. You got to do something. Straight up, man. Hey, man, Pat, man. You my homie, man. I appreciate you riding with me, listening to me go off and rant and all these things. And I appreciate you bringing your perspective to what's going on in the world of sports and just in the world of politics and what's going on in the world of black people today, man. I appreciate you, man.
Oh, yeah, most definitely, man. That's what I'm here. Boxing, and anytime you want to talk about some social shit, I'm with you.
Hey, man. But you know I got to have you back on next week because we got to go more into boxing, and I want to have a discussion about the top five boxers or the top 10 boxers of all time. So I got to, you my boxing analyst. I want to bring you back on so we can have that discussion.
All right, we can do it.
Yes, sir, man. I appreciate you, man. I ain't gonna take up no more of your time, and I hit you up later.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. That's my man, Patrick Irvin, man. Y'all make sure y'all check out PAX Inc., PATTSINC, so you can support Patrick Irvin and all of his efforts. Also, make sure y'all support the Freedom Train Podcast Series. It's Pat and I host the Freedom Train Podcast Series. Make sure you go out, go on to Freedom Train Network, freedomtrainradio.com every Wednesday to check out our episodes. And make sure you check out freedomtrainradio.com every Thursday to check out the episodes of The Fix. So, man, you know, I'm Joseph Ward. This is The Fix, man. This is the realest radio show, the realest sports podcast you have ever heard in your life. And we get to them. We got to talk about it. We got to be about it. Hey, man, we are here to make a difference. We're here to be heard. Our athletes are more than just athletes. They do more than just shut up and play football. They make a difference. We're going to talk about it. Hey, man, once again, I'm Joseph Ward. Two fingers in the air like you just don't care. Peace.
I am the greatest.
I found the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back Jack. And it is 4-1.
On that ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lennox is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm Snare Claw. There's no one that can...